This is kind of a historical talk. It has a little bit of technical content, but not a lot. It's mostly about boxes.mp, but I am going to talk to some degree about the motivation behind the rest of MetaPost. And you'll see that I'm kind of mostly concerned about what happened back in the 1990s. Then again, I will talk about a few ideas for the future. They just don't actually have anything that I'll be able to distribute. So anyway, the first step is some discussion of motivation. I was very much concerned when I did MetaPost about the previous art, and to me, the prior art was actually TROF from the TROF tools. So there'll be some comparison here of MetaPost and the MetaPost macro packages to what was in TROF. Boxes.mp itself is kind of an orphan in that some of the motivation behind the rest of MetaPost doesn't really apply to it. So to some extent, this is an apology for something that didn't quite fit in. The types of most people would use an interactive method to do what the boxes macros do, and I'm afraid I'll have to agree that's probably the best. But you'll see, I would sort of hope that it can be done more automatically. Okay. The motivation behind MetaPost itself was, of course, that I wanted a tool for mathematical diagrams. I was very aware of Van Wyck's ideal. I had hoped to use it. I hear that it wasn't really available to the rest of the world, but being at Bell Labs, it was available to me. I seriously considered using it, but I found I was aware of all the power in MetaFont 84, the current MetaFont we use, and although Ideal can do some things that MetaFont can't, I wanted to, it was much more attractive to retarget MetaFont, which is what I did, rather than try to do everything with Ideal, but I'll show you why. I was concerned about existing macros in TROF for producing pictures, which were called PIC. PIC is not something anybody would use anymore, but anyway, it was part of my motivation, so I'll show you what was going on there. Ideal dates to 1979. As I said, I seriously considered using it. Ideal has something called a box, which is basically a collection of drawing commands. The boxes do have boundaries, and they can be reused, repositioned. They have affine transformations that can be applied. So a lot of what you see in MetaFont, but this is very much motivated by MetaFont 79. So these drawing commands didn't produce paths that were first-class objects. Interestingly, the equation-solving mechanism in Ideal is more general than what was in MetaFont and MetaPost. So here is an interesting view of history. It's sort of my view of history. The original paper on MetaPost was way back in 1989, and at that time when it appeared in PostScript, it was just vaporware, because I didn't start programming until 1990. And as you can see from this diagram, it took 5 years before it became really available to the rest of the world. Boxes.mp was the first real macro package outside of the plain macros, and it occurred pretty early on in this development. One feature of boxes is that it's possible to expand it by adding different types of boxes, and I actually did that once and created this not-so-well-known macro package, rboxes.mp, which is simply boxes with an additional option for rounded corners. And here you see that most of the features I came up with showed up. Well, here's the biggest one. It took a while to get this graph drawing package going. It required changes to the underlying language. And that's sort of the last major thing that happened. And all this time, a whole year and a half, is how long it took to get permission to make MetaPost available to the public. So it's not easy to get software out of Bell Labs. So here's the first aspect of comparison. This picture on the right is, I think, familiar. It's from the manual, although I have redone it to use larger fonts so you can see it. I didn't want to redo the corresponding picture in the PIC manual. Basically, I don't want to touch PIC anymore. But I don't think anybody has seen this side-to-side comparison, which was actually kind of part of my motivation. In particular, the splines that were popular when PIC came out were these quadratic B splines, which I don't think look nearly as good as what we have in MetaFont. Also, of course, you probably can't see it too well, but these symbols up here don't have any mathematics in there. It just says N1, D1, et cetera. So that's a big addition, is the ability to put math in the labels. And also I changed the arrowheads, but I'll have to confess I made it more complicated. So this thing got, you know, significantly longer when I converted it to MetaPost. Here's an example, the first example of a diagram of the type that one can do with the boxes macro package. Here's an example of actually how it is done in PIC. And it's actually simpler in PIC. And the main reason is because PIC has more built-in knowledge. It kind of knows that you want these boxes to be aligned and arrows go from one box to the next, and you don't kind of have to say where things go. Of course, that means it has a little bit less power. Also, this picture is just an illustration of the fact that the original TROF tools were much more pipeline-oriented. That was the motivation for the funny way that BTEC ETEC is implemented, where it kind of goes off and runs LaTeX on the side. What it basically is a sideways pipeline where instead of running a preprocessor that inserts the equivalent MetaPost commands for the tech code, it puts that extra material in this MPX file on the side. But everything else is behaving as if it were a preprocessor. Okay. So let me say just a little bit more about technically what was going on that I wanted to copy. So PIC has boxes, rectangular boxes, circle, ellipse. So those became boxit. The circle and ellipse were replaced by circlet, which does not actually create ellipses. It creates these, I called them ovals, but they're approximate super ellipses of the type that we had in mind when we built the MetaFont paths. And MetaPost already had a path drawing that was more general than what PIC had. This box join macro was created to try to make it easy to have boxes join up like they are in this picture without a bunch of complicated commands in between explaining the relationship. This doesn't show it, but you can, of course, put labels on these lines, and that was much easier to do in the TROF version of this tool. The notion that you can talk about the corners of a box, et cetera, is very old. I didn't invent that. Dashed lines, of course, have been around for a long time, although what we have in MetaPost is more general because you can specify arbitrary patterns. We got rid of quadratic B splines. The text, of course, now is run through TEC or LaTeX, so it can be more general. So let me go on a little bit to say, talk about interactive tools, which I'll have to admit are probably the best way to do box diagrams like this. And the reason is because you don't really care exactly what coordinates these ovals and boxes are at. And so having to write equations for them, I'll admit, is a little bit unnatural. Of course, you have to be careful if you do it interactively to avoid problems like the one I've illustrated here, where the lines don't line up and they're not quite vertical. There are lots of interactive tools that allow you to avoid that, yet I have seen lots of presentations where things don't quite line up. So yes, it can be done, but it's something you have to be careful about. One of the big motivations I had for doing MetaPost was that you have everything right down in a file, and if you want to make a change, you want to completely change the margins or whatever, you can rescale your picture in a way much more sophisticated that wouldn't happen if all you can do is geometric rescaling. So that's something that's a little harder to do if you do it interactively. You have to have some kind of a saved form, and then you basically lose some of the motivation you chose for placing things where they went. So anyway, also node labels. It's a little hard. I, of course, wanted the node labels to match the document, and that's always a little tricky. So clearly an option, and maybe the best option, is to use an interactive tool that outputs MetaPost. And of course, such tools exist, and I'll confess I don't really have experience using them. My real problem with this is it's difficult for me to install software on the machine I like to use. I don't own it. It's a big server that is basically, it's hard for me to get good IT support on it. So anyway, I haven't actually been using these interactive tools, but I did once experiment with automatic graph layout, which ideally kind of would be a way to solve this problem of not wanting to waste time giving coordinates that don't really matter much. So I looked, of course, there have been papers on automatic graph layout in this context. I did read one that occurred recently in Tugboat. It was from some people by IBM China. I won't try to pronounce their names. So it would ideally be nice to have sort of a declarative form where you just kind of say what you really care about in this picture. Probably it would be better for me to show you the example I have on the next slide. But the point here I'm trying to go through is I care about low redundancy. I don't want to specify where things are laid out. I want to have a very few parameters to set. And I want it to be a fairly simple and natural input. Now, here's an example. This is sort of a best case example from my experiments. So this here on the left is the actual code which I might want to transform into my diagram, and here on the right is how it turned out when I got lucky. This is actually a description of the data flow inside of some specific piece of software or something. It actually has some meaning. And if what I have specified here is everything one would actually know and care about as an author of the software, and you don't know or care about where in particular these various boxes and ovals should go, you don't. That's kind of irrelevant information. So in a sense, this description here on the left is kind of a concise description of everything I really care about in the diagram. And it would be nice if you could get a good layout from this. But as I confess, you have to be lucky to get one. So here is an example. This is a description of the input language. Let's not go into all this. But I think this is pretty much general enough to say everything you'd want to say. It certainly is not nearly as general as what you can do in MetaPost, but this is specifically aimed at the problem that is relevant to automatic graph layout. So I talked about a few parameters. The few parameters are the width and the height of the diagram, some kind of notion of density, and text size. And you have the constant problem of, well, what if it doesn't fit within this width and height? Well, you need to be able to shrink the text size, shrink the nodes, play with the density. So some of these things are upper bounds. But this is kind of the level of parameters that I'd like to deal with. So the first thing is, do existing graph layout tools meet this goal? Well, not too well, because we have all these complexities. I'll explain some of these complexities in the next slide. I chose as my example this little-known thing called VCG. I could have chosen DOT, which is much better known, but I had some problem with it. I'm sure it wasn't installed on my machine. I might have had trouble getting input and output in a little language I could read. I might have had some intellectual property concerns with the agreements that go with it. I don't know what it was. But anyway, I chose this VCG instead. It's pretty much a similar type of thing. So VCG has a few issues. It's only output some of the information in PostScript, where, you know, what I like is to have its in output come here in this other simpler language that's just much easier to parse. It can output, it can create splines, but you don't really have access to that, and also some of these edge labels you don't have good access to. It wants to, like all these standard existing graph layout tools, it wants to figure out how big the text is. And the way we need to figure out how big the text is to go off and ask Tech or MetaPost. The way I did it in these experiments is I produced little MetaPost programs whose sole purpose is to tell me how big the text is. And this diagram is supposed to illustrate that one could give the node sizes as more sophisticated than just a simple rectangular box if you want to. So here's an example of some of the layouts you get from VCG. Now, this is exactly the same diagram as you saw before. It has a very, very different flavor because this VCG tool is designed to produce kind of, it's designed to lay out directed acyclic graphs. This graph actually does have a cycle in it, but anyway, it's kind of laid out the same way. And it's fine, I guess, except that you don't have much power to make it very compact. So this is about as compact as it can be here on the right. And there's, of course, the parameters in any of these particular graph layout packages aren't what I would like. They have lots and lots of parameters, only a few of which are directly related to things like the density and the height and the width. Basically, there's a parameter that talks about the horizontal space between a rows of things laid out roughly horizontally and the vertical space between things laid out roughly vertically. These are called X space and Y space. And I just dreamed up formulas to relate it to the parameters I cared about. It was based roughly on this idea of trying to achieve the density. The density meant the fraction of the overall bounding box that is occupied by the ovals and circles. And it turned out that it can't really achieve the density very well. So I also considered an alternative approach. Well, if none of the existing off-the-shelf tools do it, what about the published algorithms in the graph drawing community? So I looked at one paper that appeared to be fairly simple, and the authors claimed it had good results. This paper advocated a layout scheme that kind of has four parts to it, a so-called force-directed initial layout that just decides where to put the nodes, a step that removes overlaps, an initial routing step, and an adjustment step where you change not only the routes of the edges, but also you reposition the nodes as well. Of course, in my experiments, it'll turn out that I didn't actually want to implement all of this stuff. But anyway, here's the rough idea of force-directed layout, which is a fairly standard scheme. It can produce compact layouts, but you just can't really count on it to do anything in particular. This particular diagram shows how I modified it in my experiments to try to make it lay out the nodes in such a way that you can obey these port specifications that say, like, I want this edge to leave on the southern edge of this box and come in on the northern edge of this box. In order to do that, they probably have to be kind of roughly at the same y-coordinate as I've drawn it here. Or if it's leaving on the east edge of the source, S stands for source, and arriving on the north edge of the destination, then you probably want some kind of a diagonal relationship like this. And if it isn't what you want, then there are so-called forces added to try to correct this. So basically, the idea of force-directed layout is you have repulsive forces if things get too close. You have a general attractive force to try to keep the graph from getting too big. And you just kind of look at the current positions of your boxes, compute the forces, adjust a little bit in the direction of the force, and continue to repeat and repeat and repeat and hope it converges to something. So as you can see, this isn't going to be really reliable, but it has some chance of doing all kinds of things. When I looked at this paper, I found that actually it had a few bugs in it. This describes the overlap removal step, which is kind of a sweep line algorithm. They're kind of hot on efficient algorithms, which isn't something you really need in this application because you can't fit a graph that's really complicated on a piece of paper, which is the application that I had in mind, you know, something you can fit in a document. But what this is illustrating is boxes can come in all kinds of sizes and shapes, and it can be enough to confuse these algorithms. And in particular, this one had a notion of ordering boxes along this sweep line, and this is an illustration of how that notion got confused unless you were careful. The initial routing was based on a fairly complicated visibility graph. I didn't want to implement that. I cut some corners. Basically, the idea is if you, well, I guess we'll talk about it at this step. If you make these boxes that you're separating a little bigger than the actual boxes, then you can guarantee that there's enough space around that somehow the edges can be routed. So I was hoping that one can kind of cut a few corners in the edge routing step. The edge routing step was kind of interesting as they advocated it, in that it would try to minimize a quadratic function subject to these constraints. I think we don't want to go into the technical details of this, but anyway, it has some potential to do some pretty good things. Here's an example of some of the results. Now, this is the good result that I showed you when I said we got lucky. And this, as you can see, is a version of the original layout, of the original picture that we had at the beginning of this talk. And as you can see, there were some problems with the edge routing here. I believe it would have worked quite a bit better if I had directly followed the algorithm that I was doing, but it was pretty complicated, and I cut some corners. So in principle, I think automatic layout probably could mostly work, but I think you would need the ability to interactively improve it or something. So I don't have a tool that will actually, that I could actually distribute or anything. But anyway, I had fun with these experiments. Is boxes.mp the right way to draw pictures like this? Well, I confess, probably not, but I still use it. Meta post is for mathematical diagrams philosophy is kind of the reason it falls short, which is in this application, you don't really care about the math, the exact coordinates of where these boxes are, which is sort of fundamentally the attractive part about MetaPost and other applications. I confess that a GUI probably is best, but it's still not as good as automatic layout that would actually work. So anyway, I think automatic graph layout is something we should consider. All right. Wait, we have a hand over there. You missed one.
Most of the diagrams you just showed are very simple and could be easily done in a GUI or just by hand. You'd probably save time. But obviously, if you had a really complicated diagram and it worked, it'd be great. So I was wondering what the most complicated input you've tried to use is, and has it gotten anywhere near working?
I have tried things that are complicated enough that you have trouble fitting it on a page. So basically, yeah, I tried anything that could fit on a page, but that's only on the order of, you know, a couple dozen boxes. But you can have quite a few connecting lines in there. But that's sort of part of the, even something involving just a couple dozen boxes, it takes a long time to do it in boxes.mp, believe me. So
you compared MetaPost with PIC.
Yes.
And there's one interesting thing which PIC at a very early time tried to get right, that is the dashed stuff. For example, if you have a dashed box, then the dashes are always ending as corners at the edges. And MetaPost just follows the PostScript philosophy. This should be something which one could improve to, by macros maybe, to calculate the dashes length.
So you're talking about getting the phase of the dashes right,
yes,
relative to the line length.
Yes.
Well, certainly we have these arc length operators, so I assume we could just change the macros and try to do that.
Okay. Thank you again.